Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, kind of swimming into the studio here today. I'm not sure what Pastor Lutz has to do with this, but I think he set some clouds out there for me to welcome me when I got up this way. It just started pouring. It was coming down by the bucketfuls when I got out of my car. Actually, when I pulled in the parking lot, I was escaping the rain until I pulled into the parking lot. And you know, due to the traffic on 77 today, I got a little delayed. If you're on 77 coming north out of Summit County, I'm not sure what's going on down there, but it was backed up below the Ohio Turnpike entrance down there in Richfield. But I had to get off and go up through Brecksville on Brecksville Road and cut around and kind of join 77 a little further up off Wallings. So I'm not sure how far up or the traffic is backed up or where. But at any rate, it just started pouring up here. I didn't have any problems with rain until I got up here where Pastor Lutz was. And so I heard him on the radio starting his program because I was still trying to get here due to the traffic. And he was implying that somehow my presence coming this way was bringing the bad weather. Well, all I know is I was having no problem with rain other than a sprinkle or two until I got into Pastor Lutz's vicinity, and it just opened up and poured on me. So, no, that's fine. It just got to rain sometime. But and speaking of Pastor Lutz, I want to let you know that he's going to be filling in for me next week. So he's always good, and I am going to be at the Summit County Fair next week, so I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute or two. But I'm sitting here trying to dry out in the studio because it was just getting wet. Fortunately, I had an umbrella in the car when I got out. The rain was coming down at about a 45-degree angle, so I had to hold the umbrella behind me rather than over me to try and keep somewhat dry. Well, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program and just use us for your glory today and help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching and to use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, if you're out there in some of these areas where these showers are going through, just be careful on the roads. Get a lot of ponding on the roads and careful. Watch for hydroplaning, things like that. But got to have the rain. It makes the plants grow, makes the gardens grow, and you need that. Now, as I was saying, a week from today, I will be at the Summit County Fair in Talmadge, Ohio. The fairgrounds are just off Route 91 in Talmadge. It's just north of Howe Avenue is the entrance to the fairgrounds. But our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, has had a booth there the last couple of years, and we're going to be back there again this year. Looking forward to it. We always enjoy doing that. It's kind of fun to be out there. So the booth has information, of course, on our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we also have some things on the radio program, and on occasion get to meet some folks out there who listen to the radio program. And so hope if you're a listener and you're going to be out at the Summit County Fair this year, you'll look us up. I'll be there most days. Most times. So I will be there, for instance, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all day. And all day, I mean from basically when the fair opens up in the morning until the time it closes in the evening at night. And roughly, I guess, 11, something in that time frame. And then, of course, on Friday, I will be there until about 6 o'clock. And then I will have to head out so that I can get back up to Richfield for our Bible study at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, where our church meets. The Richfield Holiday Express, of course, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off the Ohio Turnpike and 77, and pretty close, easy to get to from either Akron or Cleveland. And then I will be there at the fair again all day on Saturday. And then Sunday, I will not be at the fairgrounds. I'll be at our church. Now, some people from our church will be there at various times as well, certainly on Friday night when I'm not there, and also all day on Sunday. We have a number of people from our church will be there. So in the meanwhile, though, I'm trying to get some other things together to get ready for the fair, and including getting ready for some things with our church coming up, and we'll be talking about some of those things a little bit more. Want to again give a thanks to the fine folks at Hinckley Ridge Baptist Church in Hinckley, Ohio, for welcoming our church with a special. We had a special joint service. That's what I want to say. And so we were their guests. So we had a joint service with them last Sunday, and I mentioned it on our program last Sunday night. We had a wonderful time. I was able to teach and preach and everything in the morning, and then in the evening service. And so we just had a great time. We had a dinner following the morning service, and it was a great time. Our church had a lot of fun, it was enjoyable, had a lot of fellowship, and it was just kind of nice. And, you know, when you're a church that meets in a hotel room and you have the chance to meet in an actual church building, it's kind of nice. We get spoiled that way, I guess, but just let you know, we will be back at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express for our Friday night Bible study, of course, tonight, and our Sunday services this coming Sunday. We will be there on, of course, morning service. We have our 10 o'clock Bible study hour, currently looking at reasons for believing that God exists, and sort of just touching, we just started on looking at the inspiration of the Word of God and how God speaks to us, and why it's reasonable to assume that if God exists, or to believe that if God exists, that he would make an effort to make himself known to us. And of course, his word is a part of that effort. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." That's what we call general revelation. That gives you the idea that there's a creator, that there's an intelligence out there that's responsible for all of this, but it's not enough to save you. And that's where special revelation comes in, and that's the actual Word of God, where holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they gave us the words of God, which gives us the specific things God wants us to know, the things we need to know so that we can know our sinful condition, and that we can know how that Christ God provided a way through Jesus Christ to make it possible for our sins to be forgiven. When we realize that Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, came into this world and he lived a perfect life without sin, he did what we can't do, and then he went to the cross and he took the punishment for our sins. He paid for our sins as he died, and he shed his blood upon the cross. And as he shed his blood upon the cross, of course, we know that he said, "It is finished," and he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And so he tasted sin for us, or death for us. He died for us, shed his blood to pay for our sins. And if we'll confess our sin, believe that Christ paid for our sin and rose again victorious over sin and death, we have the promise that our sins are forgiven and that we have a home with you. And I just got a notice here too on Facebook. Don't know why that we're not getting any sound on our Facebook page here, but I'm going to go ahead and pull this one microphone off, and hopefully that'll give us some sound over there. If they're still listening on Facebook, they can put a note on there. I just happen to notice that. Let's see. Speaking of Facebook, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and that'll give you information about us and about the church, and also about the radio program. And you can go from there to our Facebook Live page. Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And that, when it's working, you can watch and listen to us there as well. And so, at any rate, get distracted with that too much. Let's see, get back to what I was talking about here. The hotel that we meet in, keep posted on our website and on our Facebook page. I'll be letting you know, because the hotel is undergoing some renovation, and there's going to be a couple of Sundays, perhaps, hopefully not more than two or three, where it's going to impact the location in the hotel where we meet. Normally we meet in the breakfast room, and it's possible that we will be, in the meeting room, but it's possible we will be meeting in the breakfast room here in a couple of weeks. But this Sunday, so far as I know, we are going to be in the meeting room. So let's see. Well, I want to get into a couple of things here today, and of course, let you know too that you can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and that way, if you got a question, like I said, you can give us a call. We'll get you on the air here today. But in the meanwhile, I was looking at something online last night, and I'm going to try and pull up this article here. Our former President Trump had recently been speaking in South Africa. And while he was there, he was talking about the need for wealth distribution. As a socialist, he has this idea that the wealthy should distribute their wealth, share their wealth with the less fortunate, and rather than spending it on bigger and bigger houses and expensive items and things of that nature. And you know, this is kind of interesting, because we just had that young woman, Ocasio-Cortez, who won the New York primary, running as a Democratic socialist, overturning the election there, winning as a first-time, I guess, run. She won over a seasoned Democrat politician in the primary there. And she herself has said that the capitalism needs to go, and we need to replace it with some form of socialism. Now, socialism, of course, is just communism light. Somebody once said that socialism is communism without the jackboots, and I would also add without the machine guns and things of that nature as well. And so the idea comes up periodically. Is capitalism moral, or as a Christian, should we be capitalist? Should we be socialist? What should we be? And thinking about what the Bible has to say, I think the Bible gives us some guidance here. But let me start it again by looking at former President Obama said when he was talking about the wealthy spending money on these big houses. He said, there's only so big a house you can have. Well, I guess there's a point to that. You can only build so big. It would depend on how much money you have and how much land you have to put it on. But I've heard this before. Well-meaning Christians, born-again Christians even, well-meaning Christians have said that it's just not right that people who are wealthy are building these big, expensive homes. Oh, by the way, President Obama has an $8 million mansion that he's currently adding onto, which is his second house, and he's trying to say that it's somehow wrong or immoral for the wealthy to build big mansions. But you'll hear Christians sometimes say, well, isn't that wrong? You know, people are starving. People don't have homes, and they're building these giant homes, and there's only like two or three people living in them, and that's just not right. That money could be better used providing for the poor and things like that. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about some things that the Bible says we're going to look at here. And in fact, let me just bring up a couple of verses here. And there's a passage in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, there's we see in the early days of the church, we had a lot of people who understood the gospel and got saved, realized Christ was the Messiah, who were visiting in and around Jerusalem. They weren't from there, and they had come in for the Jewish holy days and things. And so many of them stayed when they realized that Jesus was the Messiah. Thousands of people added to the early church on the day of Pentecost and in the days and weeks and months to follow. And in the course of that time, people were selling some of their land, some of their possessions to raise money to help take care of fellow believers who had run out of money and didn't have a place to live, didn't have a job. And in this setting, in Acts chapter 5, we have Ananias and Sapphira who sold a possession. It says in verse 2, they kept back part of the price. And they took the money, they brought it to Peter and to the leaders of the church, and apparently they had claimed that they brought the entire price, the entire amount of money that they sold the property for, when in reality they hadn't. They had kept some of it back for themselves, and they lied. They wanted to sound like they were so generous that they gave everything that they sold this property for. And this possession for. And so they lied about it. Now, it's not the fact that they only gave part of it to God that they're rebuked for, because Peter says this in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now, the keeping back part of the price of the land was not the sinful thing unless God had told them to give it all. The sinful part was lying about it. And he continues in verse 4, whiles it remained, was it not thine own? Meaning the property was your property. It belonged to you. You could do what you wanted with it. And he said, after it was sold, was it not in thy power? Meaning the money that you raised from selling this possession was your money. You could do what you wanted with it. Then he said, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto God, but unto men. Now, God judges him rather strongly here. In fact, Ananias dies as a result of this, and so does his wife later. And that's not what I'm getting into. But the key here is that Peter readily says here in Acts chapter 5, verse 4, that the property, the possession, was his. It belonged to him, and he could do with it what he wanted. That's ownership of property and things. That's a hallmark of capitalism. And he said, you could sell it, or you could keep it. It's up to you. And then when you sold it, the money you sold it for is yours. You can do what you want with it. It's in your power. And again, that's a hallmark of capitalism, as opposed to socialism that would say, there's a need over here, and you've got this. We're going to take this from you. We're going to distribute it with those that have it or that need it. And here's another case here in another passage we have where Jesus gives a parable about a man, and I don't have time to go through this in detail, but just let me give you the synopsis in Matthew chapter 20. He says, and it starts in verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, and went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He goes out in the third hour. He hires some more people and says that he will pay them what's right. And then the 6th hour, the 9th hour, he does the same thing. The 11th hour, the last hour of the day to work, he went out and he found some others standing idle in verse 6. He said, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" They said, say unto him, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith unto him, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." So when it was come, even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Now a penny was a day's wages. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. They likewise received every man a penny, a day's wages. When they received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, and have borne the burden of the heat of the day." But he answered and said to them, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee." And he, in his agreement with them, agreed to give them a day's wages for a day's work. They traded their labor and their knowledge and their skill for his money. And the householder owned the vineyard, and he controlled the money. Now, here's the thing that I'm saying with that. It was his decision. Now, he had compassion on the people who were unable to find work. He knew that they had families to feed, and he chose willingly to pay them well a day's wages, even though they only worked an hour or two, and that way he helped take care of them. See, capitalism needs compassion. It needs biblical values behind it, or it becomes corrupted by greed. But let me get back to the idea of these big people with these rich people building these big houses, and isn't that somehow offensive? Shouldn't they use that money to help the poor? Well, let me put it this way. As somebody who used to move expensive furniture into some of these big houses and stuff that were owned and built by rich people when I was in college, and I didn't do it full time. I did it at various times, but when I did it, I got paid well. I got paid substantially more than minimum wage at the time. I was at one point getting $12 an hour to move expensive furniture into these big mansions. And here's what happens when rich people build big houses. The rich people, voluntarily put money into the pocket of numbers of carpenters, masons, electricians, plumbers, painters, landscapers, interior designers, roofers, furniture and appliance sellers, movers, and countless others who are involved in the building of these big houses and the furnishing of these houses. Now, the less fortunate, and I didn't have much money as a college student, I count myself in the less fortunate category, I earned money by trading my labor and my skill for the money of the rich. The rich put money in my pocket directly in exchange for my labor and my skill. Now, that enabled me to better my life. Some people doing this even become rich themselves. Now, what would happen if the rich didn't build those big houses? Somebody said, "Oh, it's not right. It's not moral for them to build these big houses when the less fortunate don't have houses and need this money. They should give it to the poor." Well, here's what happens. People like me that worked on these big houses and the legions of carpenters, masons, electricians, plumbers, painters, landscapers, interior designers, roofers, furniture and appliance sellers and movers and all the others involved in building and furnishing these big houses no longer get the money from the rich. They no longer trade their skill and their labor for the money that the rich gives them in exchange for that. Instead, they become dependent on the government that takes the money from the rich and doles it out to the less fortunate according to the will and the dictates of the socialist bureaucrats. Consequently, the less fortunate no longer earn money by trading their labor and skills for the wealth of the rich, but become stuck in a cycle of poverty and dependence on the government dole. Now, which one do you think sounds more like what we see in the Bible? I think God would rather have the rich operate from biblical values and provide their money in exchange for the skills and the labor of others. And I think that the less fortunate can develop their skills and labors and exchange that for the money for the rich. Why do we need the government in that role? You know, problem with socialism and communism is it's an atheistic system. The government takes the place of God. Capitalism works, and it works best when God's and when people have biblical values and they look to God. But then considering how much unemployment, poverty, and government dependency went on in the Obama years, maybe that's why they want people dependent and the rich giving their money to them. Well, we're out of time today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.